The three most famous and important people in the history of personal computing, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and Bill Joy, are born within 6 months of each other. Now, that is not a coincidence. I mean, I make the argument in the book that that is hugely significant because it means that they came of age at a moment, they were 21, when the personal computer is invented, and that is the perfect age at which to contemplate the possibilities of a new technology. And if they would have been 18, they wouldn't have ended up where they were. And if they had been 25 in 1976 when this happened, they wouldn't have ended up where they were. We are products of particular environments, and we forget about that. We think that Bill Gates would have been Bill Gates if he'd been born, you know, anytime. So not true. And even he will tell you, as will Steve Jobs will tell you, that they owe an extraordinary amount of their success to the very particular mix of circumstances that surrounded their coming of age.
So on the one hand, you have these particular circumstances and the opportunities they bring, but you're also interested in the influence of culture.
Yeah, I got very interested in the kinds of things that get handed down to us by our culture and by our families. You know, if you believe, as this book does, that no success ever happens by itself. No successful person succeeds just because of their own efforts. They are products of times and places and environments. And it means you have to take culture very seriously. And you have to ask yourself, what is it that we inherit from our forebears and from our culture that makes a difference in our lives? And I, for example, have a long chapter about why it is that Asians do so well in math, right? We every year, every 4 years, there's an international math test given to 7th and I think 9th graders around the world. And every year, kids from Singapore, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, a couple of other Asian countries, not just mildly outperform the rest of the world, but massively outperform the rest of the world. We're talking about a standard deviation difference, an enormous gap. An issue, the question is, why is that? I mean, this has happened every year for as long as we have tested kids around the world for math ability. Asian kids have destroyed the rest of the world. At a certain point, you have to stop simply accepting this fact, and you have got to ask yourself, why? And some people have said, oh, it's because Asians have higher IQs than the rest of us, which I think is nonsense. I think there's a much more compelling argument to be made that it has to do with the cultural legacy that Asian kids inherit. In particular, it has to do, I think, with the lessons learned from thousands of years of rice farming. I think, as strange as it seems, that there is a bright line connecting the culture that arose out of the very particular and onerous demands of rice farming and the extraordinary success that modern-day Asians have in mathematics. And if that piques your curiosity, you should listen to the book.
To a great extent, you're debunking rugged individualism, the myth of American success, right?
I am. I mean, in some ways, this book is a kind of somewhere between a corrective and a full-scale assault on the way Western society in general and American society in particular has thought about success over the last few hundred years.